you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Let's face it, fasting sucks. What if there was a pill that you could take that would mimic and replicate most of the benefits you get when undergoing a 36-hour fast? Those same benefits without the hassle and the inconvenience and the deprivation. Or imagine if that same pill amplified the benefits you get during that fast. That's exactly what we're covering today in this episode with our guest who is pioneering the field of biomimetic supplementation. Basically taking particular ingredients that replicate the internal effects we get from activities that most of us know are healthy but don't exactly enjoy. Hi, I'm Nick Urban, host of the Mind Body Peak Performance Podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. And in this episode, we're going to cover the concept of biomimicry, what it is, why it's so important, and what you should know in order to harness the full power of it. We'll also talk about fasting and different ways you can amplify your fasts so that you get better results in shorter time and with less hassle. Another key topic we'll cover is the importance of not just taking research-backed supplements, but choosing products that have actually validated the final product. Because oftentimes when you add different ingredients together, they work better, a supplement synergy. But sometimes if you're combining too many and you haven't done your due diligence, that combination can actually detract from each of them and lead to a net negative. And in this episode, you'll also learn about four ingredients that aren't nearly as popular as they should be, and how a company called Mimio has cracked the code on a simple yet comprehensive fasting mimetic product. Our guest this week is Dr. Chris Rhodes. You'll hear more about his background, who he is, and how he got involved in all this in the episode itself. But he is the one who came up with the biomimetic formula for his company called Mimio Health. They are a nutritechnology company creating the first-of-kind biomimetic supplement designed from human biology to recreate the body's innate regenerative systems. Dr. Chris Rhodes has a PhD in nutritional biochemistry from UC Davis, and he's now sharing this special formula with the public and educating on how this has been able to transform so many lives. And if this kind of thing piques your interest, stay tuned, because Dr. Chris Rhodes mentioned to me that they are not only looking at fasting mimetics, but also exercise mimetics and all kinds of other biomimicry products. For all the resources we discussed, you can find those at mindbodypeak.com/134. You can also use the code URBAN on the Mimio Health website, and that'll save you on your orders should you choose to try it yourself. If you find this episode helpful, I'd appreciate you sharing it with a friend or going on to wherever you're listening to this and leave a rating and review. That's how this show gets found and how I continue bringing you thought-provoking guests like Dr. Chris Rhodes. Without further ado, sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode with Mimio Health and Dr. Chris Rhodes. Dr. Chris Rhodes, welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. I'm really happy to be here.
So I just met you yesterday and we had a fun conversation. And I'd like to start off today with your explanation of what biomimicry is and how you are able to extend lifespan by 96%.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big question. So first off, biomimicry is essentially studying natural systems and then finding ways to kind of decode and recreate them so that you can find these solutions to our modern day problems that might have already been solved by nature, right? So the way that we use it at Mimio is essentially we want to study human biology. understand what really makes us tick, how our body has responded and evolved to have these regenerative systems and pathways that are already inside of it, that it can kind of turn on and off when it wants to and when it needs to, and then find a way to unlock those things and put them on demand. And so how we were able to do this and how we were able to, you know, get this really interesting doubling of lifespan was by studying what happens in the human body during a fast. So fasting is really interesting to study as like a biomimetic state, because it's one of the few interventions that we know of that can reliably extend the lifespan in model organisms. And beyond that, it can also help to treat, prevent, or delay most major diseases. There's, you know, 100,000 studies on fasting showing it has these really profound effects on both health span and lifespan. And the interesting thing about that is that it does all of that, but without actually adding anything into the system, right? So it's not like, you know, you're taking this superfood or this wonder drug, but fasting is somehow activating this innate longevity bio program that we already have inside of us. So we at Mimio wanted to tease out, what is this bio program? What's happening in the human body that's activating these regenerative pathways and optimizing our cellular function specifically for survival and longevity? And then how do we hack into that and harness it? And long story short, we found that there were these unique sets of molecules that were elevated in the body during a fast that are the ones that are responsible for activating this longevity bio program. And when we give them back to people and organisms as a supplement, we can recreate the benefits of fasting, but just through supplementation. So that's essentially how we were able to extend lifespan by 96%. Was through the recreation of this, you know, fasting bio program.
That's fascinating. And we'll talk about more on that in a second and some of the other biomimicry, like optimal states that you guys are working on recreating and what the potential is there. But before we do, what are the essentials or non-negotiables you've done so far today for your health, your performance, and your bioharmony?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, I mean, obviously for me, it all comes down to fasting, right? You know, I'm a big believer in it. I've, you know, read through a lot of those 100,000 studies that are out there around fasting. So I really think that it's one of the best ways to help promote health span, promote lifespan. That's actually one of the reasons why I started researching it. I read a review paper around fasting, saw that it had these profound impacts on health, and actually started, I was an intern doing a fellowship at Stanford at the time and had a really supportive lab who was doing a lot of immunology research. So I was like, all right, I'm going to fast. I'm going to take my own blood. I'm going to look at my own cellular function and I'm going to see what happens. And basically what I saw was in my own plasma, my cells became way more functional. They were a lot more resistant to cellular stress. They had better survivability. They had better longevity. They were less reactive to autoimmune stimuli. And that was just a really big breakthrough for me to be able to see, like, I did something and it immediately affected my health. Like, and I'm already, you know, a young, healthy person. So this is taking me from already being that, you know, that baseline level of healthy to then that next level of really like boosted cellular optimization. So that's kind of at this point, my non-negotiable is that I fast, I do like one meal a day. And then, you know, generally speaking, because I also got my PhD in nutritional biochemistry, I know all the ins and outs of the food system and what we should and should not be eating, which is a blessing and a curse. You know, but I generally try to keep more towards like a paleo diet. And I say that as like a very useful term to describe what I'm doing, but not really like a hard and fast rule kind of thing. I generally try to keep like lots of vegetables, lots of lean proteins, not a lot of processed foods or sugars or anything like that. And that's more or less what I eat on a day-to-day basis. Not because I think that, you know, oh, it's how our ancestors eat, and therefore that's how we should eat, but it just fits really well into my overarching nutrition philosophy, which is more like nutrition maximalism, where it's like get the most nutrients and, you know, bioactives that, and micronutrients, vitamins and minerals that you can with the lowest amount of caloric density. And that's kind of the right path forward.
Interesting. Yeah. And fasting is one of those like rare interventions where it's not additive. And in fact, it's subtractive. Like you take out the food and you notice like health benefits.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that goes to show a couple different things. Like number one, obviously this goes back to the whole biomimicry thing, right? What happens in fasting in the body is this evolutionarily conserved process. Because when you think about what's really going on from a survival perspective, when you're eating constantly, your body kind of, you know, becomes lazy. It like runs dirty, right? It has all of this energy. It has all these nutrients. So it's not going to pay all that much attention to like, oh, am I making too many proteins? Is this like mitochondria not running like super optimally? If a cell breaks down, if it gets damaged, it's fine. I have all this energy. I can just make more. But then all of a sudden in a fasting state, right, all those extra nutrients are gone. So that sends a signal to your cells that holistically changes their function. So if something goes wrong, they don't have the energy to make a new cell. So they have to kind of turn on all of these metabolic efficiency pathways that are essentially, you know, doing cellular recycling, breaking down dysfunctional organelles or repairing them, like really optimizing cellular maintenance so that it can protect the cells that are there. Really help them live as long as possible with as little fuel as possible. And ultimately, that's kind of what longevity is.
Yeah. You mentioned that you eat one meal a day, OMAD. And are you also doing any other forms of fasting, like 24-hour fasting or multi-day fasting, water fasting, dry fasting? There's so many different forms.
Yeah, there are so many different forms and for, you know, so many different acronyms and letters and numbers involved. But yeah, OMAD is my favorite. When I originally started doing fasting, it was alternate day fasting. And that was based on, you know, the literature results for the best lifespan extension. That's typically where you see in model organisms, you can have anywhere between, you know, 30% lifespan extension all the way up to 80% lifespan extension without the reduction of calories. And that was something that was really attractive to me, right? I was like, great, I don't have to actually eat any less. It's just all a matter of timing. But the alternate day fasting lifestyle was not super conducive to, you know, being a integrated member of society that like has friends and coworkers and people that you like to hang out with or like, you know, family dinners that you like attending. So at one point or another, I was pretty into it. My sister, who's also my co-founder at Mimio, she talks to me, it's like, sure, like you're doing this, right? Like you're getting all these great longevity benefits. You can see it in yourself. That's great. But what's the point of living longer if you have to live less, right? And that was kind of like my wake-up call. I also then got into a relationship and my partner was very much like, no, you're going to have dinner with me. I'm not, like, no one wants to see me there just like, okay, I'm going to hold my glass of water and I'm going to stare directly at you while you eat. And then I'll just carry on the conversation. So one meal a day ended up being the thing that kind of worked the best for my lifestyle. And it's kind of the minimum amount of fasting that I would really recommend if you're looking to truly get into like the longer term like benefits of fasting, because it takes around like 20 to 24 hours for your body to really deplete your glycogen stores and actually start entering into full-fledged fasting metabolism and ketosis and things like that. So like shorter term fasts, like 16-8, they can be really good for kind of condensing your eating window, getting some effortless weight loss. And like it's been shown to actually move cardioprotective markers around, specifically around metabolic health and cardiovascular health. But outside of that, there's a lot of benefits that people think they're getting with these shorter term fasts, like autophagy or like, you know, immune cell regeneration that they're not actually getting until much later stages of fasting, like the 36 hours, the 48 hours, the 72 hours.
I tried one meal a day a couple years ago and I did it for a while ultimately I stopped because I realized that if I was in a social setting where I couldn't get enough like nutrient dense food or something, then I would panic a little bit and be like, okay, like this is my one meal. I really have to be fully optimized for this meal. I have to get a ton of calories, ton of macros. And I became a little bit orthorexic around it. So I ultimately stopped, but it was very convenient when it was working for me. Are you doing anything to get other like essential nutrients outside of the eating window?
Yeah, for me, it's not that big of an issue because of the whole nutrition maximalism thing. So it's like my typical dinner is kind of going to be like chicken in some form or another, and then just a huge amount of vegetables, because that's just how I really like to eat. I just like eating as much as I possibly can to kind of like, you know, fill up throughout the rest of the fasting period. So yeah, like a little bit of like orthorexia, I think it just kind of comes with the lifestyle. But yeah, it's going to be vegetables that are like, again, like very calorically like minimal, but very like volume intensive. So like things like cabbage or zucchini or cauliflower or like, you know, carrots and broccoli and things like that. I'm a big fan of a zucchini noodle or a cauliflower rice kind of situation. And that's been like more than sufficient to keep me like full focus, but then also like well nourished in terms of micronutrients. And I don't really take much outside of actual like bioactives from different sources. And of course the actual Mimeo formulation, which is all the biomimetic bioactives.
So let's go on and talk about that now, because one meal a day, extended fasting, there might be some good data around it, but a lot of people aren't going to want to implement that into their lifestyles to like decide they're going to go multiple days without food, or to get yelled at by their partner for just staring at them blankly while they're sitting there with their empty plate. So tell me about Mimeo and your approach.
Mimeo is essentially, you know, the world's first fasting mimetic supplement that was actually designed from clinical fasting research that I was doing as part of my PhD at UC Davis. So essentially where the formulation came from was we took 20 people, 10 men, 10 women, had them come in and fast for 36 hours and did a before and after. And while they were doing the 36 hours of fasting, I was also having them do blood glucose monitoring for compliance testing. But this was before CGMs were really popular. So they were doing like finger prick analysis every like 2 hours. So I was everybody's favorite study. I was like, hey, don't eat for a whole day, and while you're doing that, just like, you know, constantly poke yourself and like read your blood. Thanks. But what we found was really, really interesting. It was very similar to what I saw in my own cells when I first started doing the experiments with fasting. Everybody became very functionally enhanced. So their plasma became more anti-inflammatory. It became more antioxidant, more cellular protective, and then more cardio protective as well. And then, of course, their metabolic readings were way more in line and like not nearly as crazy as they were before. So that's really interesting for us, right? Like if you can take already young, functional people and make them even more functional through fasting in like a single intervention over the course of one day, that's pretty significant, especially in the nutrition world. So we wanted to find out, all right, what's the difference between one state, the baseline state, and the fasting state that could be causing these differences? So we did what's called comprehensive metabolomics, where we looked at all of the small molecule components of the plasma. And what we found was that there were over 300 significant differences between the baseline state and the fasted state that could kind of be, you know, responsible for these effects that we were seeing. And of that list of 300, you know, there was around, you know, 50 or so that had some kind of literature result of having bioactivity, whether that's in increasing autophagy or enhancing anti-inflammatory activity or antioxidant capacity, what have you. So from that list, then we screened through those molecules to find ones that on their own could recreate these beneficial effects that we were seeing in the cells. And eventually, we narrowed our list down to this combination of four of these molecules that we identified worked synergistically together and could recreate these beneficial effects of fasting. So those same anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, and cardioprotective benefits we could induce just through supplementation with those molecules. And then, of course, because we were really interested in the whole longevity and lifespan aspect, we also did a C. elegans lifespan analysis. And what we found was that when we supplemented the Mimeo formulation, these four, you know, fasting metabolites, into the C. elegans, the little nematode worms, we could extend their lifespan by 96% just through supplementation, no fasting required, no caloric restriction required, just through supplementation. And that was kind of like, you know, our big blockbuster discovery, because to like really put it in perspective for people, if they already know about some of the popular anti-aging drugs like rapamycin or metformin, like in that same C. elegans model, rapamycin extends lifespan by 19%, metformin extends lifespan by 36%. And then, yeah, Mimeo is extending lifespan by 96%. And it's this combination of natural human molecules that are really, really safe, really, really effective, don't have any crazy side effects. It's really phenomenal.
Yeah, it's very impressive. What is the lifespan extension of just fasting, normal fasting for the C. elegans?
Yeah, great question. We actually compared that as well. And what we found was that when you do kind of like an alternate day fasting cycle with C. elegans, which is 12 hours on, 12 hours off, you get a 51% lifespan extension. So again, like these things are, you know, even pushing that beyond what you can achieve from actual fasting. And I think that that has to do with, you know, the fact that these molecules are activating these complementary fasting pathways, but without any of the negative drawbacks that can come along with severe caloric restriction that can come with fasting.
Well, I certainly want to dig into your formula that is the magic sauce of all this. But before we do, I want to know how people are using this and what kind of results you're seeing in the general population.
Yeah, we've had some really great results from our customers. We hear all the time that there's great effects on boosting energy, boosting cognition, some pain relief elements to it as well. Like we're really working underneath the surface at the cellular level to kind of optimize cellular functionality, activate these beneficial fasting pathways on demand. And so what you really get from that from customers is this big, just, you know, optimization of function. People have told us it's kind of like pure human awesomeness is one of my favorite quotes, where it's like, I don't feel like high, I don't feel buzzed, I just kind of feel like at peace with the universe, which makes sense because the actual ingredients that are in Mimeo have over 100 different clinical studies behind them showing that they have a lot of different effects across a lot of different indications and use cases. So we kind of got lucky in a certain extent. Like these things don't just operate at the cellular level, but then they also have these holistic full body benefits and day-to-day benefits that you can feel as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I love it with a lot of these ingredients, they're looked at for like their longevity uses, and that might be the primary indication for use. But then again, some of them have like cognition enhancing effects or energy boosting effects and like all kinds of other things that, like, if you take a formula that includes a smart combination of them, you can enjoy all kinds of things simultaneously.
Yeah, exactly. And what we really see from our customers too is, you know, this is beyond just a longevity supplement. You can use it as a fasting mimetic, right? We've shown in our pilot clinical study that when you take this with food, you can prevent a lot of these negative effects of eating that happen. So basically what we did for that study was we had people come in, eat a standardized breakfast alongside a placebo control, tested their plasma functionalities like we had in the fasting study, and then had them come back after a washout period, eat that same standardized breakfast, but then with supplementation with Mimeo, and track their plasma functionalities throughout like the postprandial, post-eating time course. What we found was that when people ate the standardized breakfast with the placebo control, there was a big loss of plasma functionality, which is super typical, right? That's called the postprandial response. You have all of this, you know, foreign material that's coming into the system from the food, throwing things into metabolic chaos, activating immune responses. So their plasma became more pro-inflammatory, less antioxidant, less cardioprotective. But when they had that same meal, but with supplementation with Mimio, we saw that we could not only prevent all of that loss of function, but then actually add gains of function on top of that, that mimicked what we saw during a 36-hour fast. So you could really activate these beneficial fasting pathways even during a meal and prevent a lot of these metabolic disruptions, dietary inflammation, you know, brain fog effects that were happening from eating that meal. So that's kind of a big major use case for us, is even just beyond the day-to-day longevity aspects of it, you can also use it as a metabolic enhancement product. And then, of course, also because we're mimicking a 36-hour fast, like what we were talking about before, you have a lot of people who are doing more of the 16-8 style of fasting. That's the most popular version of fasting that there is. And people think that they're getting all of these benefits like autophagy and immune cell regeneration from these longer term fasts, but really they're not. And so Mimio is great because it was designed to recreate the effects of a 36-hour fast. So you can use it as a fasting enhancer, you know, take it in the morning without any food and help to really like supercharge the benefits of the shorter fast that you're doing and get, you know, these benefits of longer term fasting, the elevation of these great fasting metabolites that you wouldn't ordinarily experience. And then there's an appetite suppression component to that as well, which is great. We've heard from a lot of customers that they can actually fast for longer than they've ever been able to before, thanks to Mimio.
That's really cool. I love that it has a dual use. You can either use it as a replacement for fasting, or you can also combine it with a fast to pretty much amplify the benefits. So if I was doing a 24-hour fast and I was skipping dinner and then, all right, say I start at the end of dinner and then I go 24 hours till dinner the next day, I can fast after dinner, obviously. And then the next morning I could take Mimio and I could get stronger effects, wake up fasted, take it, suppress my appetite a bit, make the fasting till dinner easier and enjoy more effects, better effects from my fast at the same time. Are there any wrong ways to use it, and how fast do people start noticing an impact?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that there is particularly a wrong way to use it. You know, you can use it with a meal, you can use it without a meal. It also depends on how quickly, who's taking it, what their biology is, how quickly they'll actually experience benefits. There are some people who are very sensitive to the OEA or the PEA that are in the formulation. PEA specifically is part of the endocannabinoid system, and it helps to stimulate the secretion of anandamide, which is one of the body's bliss molecules. And so it has almost like CBD style effects. It helps, you know, promote recovery, promote mood enhancement, but then also like relieve kind of everyday aches and pains of getting older, or if you have some kind of, you know, like muscle soreness or joint soreness, things like that. So that effect can be pretty acute, especially if you're already in some kind of pain. Otherwise, I would kind of put it on the realm of, if you take ibuprofen when you're not actually in pain, like, are you going to notice the effect? But a big one that people might notice immediately is oleoyl ethanolamide. And that is OEA, which is the hunger suppression component. And that's involved in the gut-brain axis, where it actually stimulates satiety and stimulates the production of GLP-1. So it's kind of like your body's natural Ozempic to a certain degree. And that's something that we hear a lot from customers, is that they have like very big appetite suppression effects from taking the OEA in the formulation. And then outside of those, you know, two things, the kind of, you know, mood and energy and appetite suppression effects from those two molecules, like really benefits should start appearing more towards like, you know, the 1 month time point, the 2 month time point, when you look at the clinical evidence of what's out there. And it's like, it's very robust. Like I said, over 100 different clinical studies with these individual molecules. 60 days is usually where you get the best, significance in before and after readings. That's like the most studied time point. So I would say that, you know, you could feel benefits right away, or it could take, you know, anywhere between 1 to 2 months to really, you know, be able to track it through biologically and see how Mimio has improved your, like, underlying health, but also your day-to-day function.
Okay. And since this is a biomimetic, I'm guessing that you don't need to cycle it, but do you?
Yeah. You know, it's really a down to personal preference. There's benefits to cycling always, but I don't think that you really need to. Like, the best example that I have of the benefits of not cycling is that lifespan extension analysis, right? Like, these C. elegans were constantly on Mimio. They didn't take a day off. They were just always there. And with any lifespan extension intervention, the longer and more consistent that you're on it, the more effective that it's going to be. I think that the best way to think about it is essentially like sunscreen, right? Like, if you wear sunscreen every day, the earlier you start, you know, eventually you're just going to like diverge and become, you know, like a lot. Like, you're going to get much more benefits over time with consistent use rather than like, oh, I'll start using it when I'm 50 and, you know, we'll take it from there.
Okay. So you've already mentioned a couple of ingredients. Let's do a run through of what is in your formula. And I'm also curious about how you settled on the dosages for each.
Absolutely. So yeah, we talked about palmitoyl ethanolamide, the endocannabinoid that helps to like relieve pain, enhance mood, your body's natural CBD, essentially. And then also oleoyl ethanolamide, always fun to say, the tongue twister of the bunch. And that's involved in the gut brain axis, where it helps like really systemically regulate metabolism, especially on a cellular level, promotes fat specific breakdown, helps to suppress appetite. It's a AMP kinase stimulator. It's a PPAR alpha stimulator. So like really like big master metabolic regulator. Then we also have spermidine, which is like a very popular longevity molecule. It's a breakdown product of arginine, and essentially is best known for enhancing autophagy in cells. It has a lot of clinical evidence as well of like having these metabolic control aspects and being able to actually prevent diet-induced obesity in mice while controlling like glucose levels and insulin levels. So very, 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 very interesting molecule. And then also lots of clinical evidence, or at least early evidence, that shows that it has a great effect on cognitive ability, especially with people with dementia and cognitive line, and being able to like enhance CERAD scores, memory, mood, and focus. The fourth ingredient that we have in Mimio is nicotinamide, and we use that a little bit differently than everybody else does. So a lot of other forms that you see out there are like nicotinamide riboside, nicotinamide mononucleotide, and those are typically used as NAD plus precursors. And NAD plus, from a cellular perspective, is essentially one of the ways that cells sense the energy levels within a cell. So if you have a lot of NAD plus, that's a cellular signal that there's not a lot of energy around. And so that then goes on to activate this cascade of pathways that are associated with fasting. And that's why you see a lot of great health span extension that happens through like NR and NMN supplementation. So nicotinamide is kind of the precursor to all of those molecules. It's where like it gets converted into nicotinamide riboside, which then gets converted into NMN, which then gets converted into NAD. And then that kind of that cycle all like repeats itself. And then the end product of that, the quote unquote waste product of that, is 1-methyl nicotinamide. And 1-methyl nicotinamide is actually what we identified in the fasting study to be upregulated during a fast, works synergistically with all of these other molecules. And we use nicotinamide as a precursor for 1-methyl nicotinamide. And we showed in our, you know, pilot clinical study, our dosing and PK analysis, that when you take nicotinamide, there's a big increase in 1-methyl nicotinamide levels in circulation. And, you know, it still has all these great synergies and effects with the spermidine, the PEA, and the OEA. And so there's like, you know, but for a long time, 1-methyl nicotinamide has not really been on people's radars because you know, it's been thought of to be just a kind of inert waste product. But now there's a lot of good emerging evidence showing that 1-methyl nicotinamide actually has these really profound immune regulatory effects, cardioprotective effects, and also enhanced exercise performance and recovery effects as well. So lots of cool research around the molecules, and something interesting that we're doing that really like no one else in this space is focusing on.
So why not just use 1-methyl nicotinamide in the first place instead of going down the other route?
Yeah, it's a good question. We would really like to use 1-methyl nicotinamide, but unfortunately, there's just regulations around it. So there was a company back in the day that filed an IND on 1-methyl nicotinamide because they wanted to use it for like as a cardiovascular disease drug, essentially. And that didn't end up going through, but the way that the regulations work in the US is that if anything at any point in time has ever had an IND filing on it, then it can never, ever again be used as a dietary supplement. So the only way to get 1-methyl nicotinamide is to use nicotinamide.
And what does IND stand for?
Oh, that's it's a new drug development application, essentially. So when a pharma company wants to, you know, do a clinical study, they have to file an IND with the FDA to essentially initiate that study, let the FDA know like, hey, this is the molecule that we want to like assess and evaluate. And then from that point on, that molecule is suddenly classified as a drug rather than something like a dietary ingredient or a supplement, regardless of the fact that it's just a naturally occurring molecule that's already present in the body. It's not a safety thing. It's just a regulatory thing.
Gotcha. Okay. Did you say how you guys settled on the different dosages for each of the four?
No, I didn't. Great point. So how we settled on the dosages for each of the four was essentially through that pilot study that we were talking about. So we assessed all of the different ingredients at three different dosages, the low dose, the medium dose, and the high dose, which was constitutively like 1x, 2x, and 3x concentrations. And then we looked at specifically, you know, what was the level of each of the molecules that was required to actually have some kind of functional benefit at the end of the day. And what we found was that the low dosage was totally sufficient to have all of these great metabolic effects, you know, within hours of taking it, enhance cardioprotective ability, and enhance anti-inflammatory ability, enhance antioxidant ability. So that was how we actually developed the dosage, not through any kind of like guesswork, but through actually doing a full-fledged pharma-style PK study.
Gotcha. Okay. And you said that the low dose of each of the ones that you tested was sufficient and you got the benefits just from the low dose. You didn't need to use the medium or high dose of any of them?
Yeah, that's right. And so you did see, you saw a certain degree of additive benefit. And this, especially as you went up to the high dose, there was an even more significant benefit there. So it was a very linear kind of increase. But one of the things that we wanted to be conscious of was like cost and then also biomass. So like we didn't want to have people take like 5 pills a day. We actually, like this was back in the day too, when we had to use a spermidine-rich wheat germ extract, which was like not super, it's like, you know, 0.1% actual spermidine. So we had people taking like 20 pills in order to get to like the high dose in the actual study. Luckily now, you know, we were able to get our hands on purified spermidine. So it's a lot, you know, less heavy of a lift, but yeah, that was one of the big things. Then we also didn't want the product to be, you know, like $250. So that's, you know, that's another reason why we went with the low dose, because it was clinically effective. And then, you know, a lot easier on the consumer.
I like that. And also, if you're able to get the same benefits or even greater benefits from taking a high dose, the low dose is usually going to cause fewer side effects or complications.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And what's interesting is that, you know, that's how we developed the dosage in the first place. But we then, you know, we've been partnering up with clinical longevity clinics around the world to essentially assess Mimio, see how it works best. And one of the things that they're using it for right now is actually to help wean their clients off of the GLP-1 agonists like Ozempic and Wegovy because of Mimio's appetite suppression effects. And what they've seen is that Taking 3 Mimeo is really where people get the biggest appetite suppression that is very akin to what they experience on Ozempic or Wegovy. So based on that, we're actually doing a reformulation of the product to enhance the bioactives. So we're keeping the price the same, but we're increasing the actual like bioactive components by 50%. So what you would currently get in 3 pills, you're now going to get in 2 pills. And that's, you know, just to give our customers a better experience, make sure that we're providing value to folks. And, you know, really, that's the main thing for us. We want to make sure that the product is effective and actually useful for people's lives.
Will you break down the GLP-1 agonists? Because I've talked about them, or actually I wrote about them a little bit in an article that I wrote, but I haven't discussed them at all in the podcast. And I have my hesitations against them for your average person. They can be miracles for people who really need them. But for your average person looking to get a little more fit and to drop some stubborn body fat, I see a lot of potential complications and problems. So can you break down what they are and how and why this is such an exciting breakthrough?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the big thing with Ozempic and Wegovy, essentially how they work is they're what's called a GLP-1 agonist. So they are stimulating the same receptors as GLP-1 that's naturally produced by your body, a natural hunger hormone. They are stimulating the same receptor that GLP-1 would stimulate. And then through that, they're enhancing satiety, reducing cravings, and essentially keeping your metabolic rate high, even when you're reducing calories. So that's kind of why Ozempic and Wegovy work so well, is because not only are they reducing the amount that you're eating kind of like effortlessly and naturally, but they're also helping to maintain your metabolic rate. Whereas, you know, in a caloric restricted environment, ordinarily without the GLP-1, you know, stimulation, you would have a very natural decrease in metabolic rate as your body tries to enhance its metabolic efficiency. The big downside of Ozempic and Wegovy is essentially that, like, number one, there's a lot of side effects that are associated with it, like very like terrible nausea, like, you know, indigestion, gut problems. And then also, if you ever come off of it, you kind of almost always categorically like regain all the weight, because what happens is the GLP-1 stimulation basically goes away and your body was now used to this very high level of stimulation of that receptor. So then when it goes away, you almost get like hunger withdrawals is kind of how it works. So people become very ravenous. They go back to their normal eating habits, and then they regain the weight, if not more weight than before. So it becomes, you know, this very treacherous cycle of once you get on it, it's very hard to get off of it, which is great for pharma companies, but not great for people who just want to live their lives without having to pay $1,000 a month to lose weight.
And what happens if someone stops taking Mimeo?
And that's the great thing, right? Like, that's why we're very excited about partnering with these clinics and like seeing them use Mimeo that way, is because it actually helps people get off of the GLP-1 agonists while, you know, continuing to give them the hunger suppression effects, but without any of the negative side effects. You can like very easily go off Mimeo and not have that same, you know, style of withdrawal, because it's not a like chemical modulated molecule, right? It's just a natural, your body knows what this is and knows how to utilize it. It knows how to break it down. So there's no negative adaptation that happens.
Chris, will you speak to why you think it's important to actually test the different molecules in combination and not just cherry pick the research of each of these specific compounds in isolation and saying, well, we're adding a bunch of them together, therefore it must be better than each of them individually?
Yeah, that's a great point. And you see this kind of all the time with formulators who, yeah, like, let me give you a 20 ingredient formulation that, you know, all the individual ingredients have these great clinical backing behind them, but do they actually work together? I don't know. And that's a big problem. And one of the things that the biomimetic approach really solves is that you can identify which molecules actually do work together, which do have synergy. And like when you're not doing that, you can have molecules that are like counterproductive to each other. So the big one that I like to talk about is calcium and magnesium, right? So it's like if you're taking calcium and magnesium at the same time, it seems like, oh, great, like win-win, right? But in reality, the way that your body actually absorbs those two molecules is through the same, what's called a symporter. So the mechanism that you like take in calcium and magnesium, they have to use the same pathway. So they compete with each other. So when you take calcium and magnesium together, you're not going to absorb really any of that magnesium because the calcium is going to outcompete it for the resources to actually get into the cell. And you see this kind of thing happen with bioactives all the time too. You have, you know, one bioactive stimulating this pathway and then another bioactive stimulating another pathway that then cancels out this pathway. So there's just a lot of cross reactions that can happen. So it's really important whenever you create a formulation, even though most people don't actually do it, it's really important to test the full formulation together and see, okay, these are actually activating complementary pathways and creating effects that are greater than the sum of their parts rather than competing with each other. And that was what was really important for us when designing the Mimeo formulation, is that we weren't cherry picking molecules just based on their clinical evidence. We were actually assessing them in the lab, in the clinic, to make sure that they all worked together.
Mm-hmm. Are there any very prominent examples that come to mind in terms of supplements or specifically longevity supplements that clash and are counterproductive together?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's none that specifically come to mind for me. And I think that a big problem in that, like, I can't say that is because, like we were talking about, a lot of people don't actually assess their formulations, right? They put these things together based off of individual clinical studies from individual molecules, but then never bother to assess their full formulations together and just kind of assume that things are going to work. Yeah, I can't think of a specific interaction between any of the big longevity ones that would kind of like contraindicate each other, although some of them might be redundant. I think that's kind of the big thing, is that, you know, if you're going out there and you're being like, all right, I'm going to take, you know, three different AMPK activators, right? Or I'm going to take three different nicotinamide or like NAD precursors, like that's not really going to do anything additive for you. And you see that in formulations all the time where you have multiple things that all do the same thing and they don't really need to be in there. And what you really want is, you know, different things that activate different pathways that all then work together. And that's the great thing about the biomimetic approach, is that that's exactly what you're getting at. Because the beauty of it is when you research things that have, you know, gone through thousands and thousands of years of evolution, like these molecules that are in Mimeo not only evolved to work within the human body, but moreover, they evolved to work together in this larger context of creating these benefits of fasting. So they actually do activate these complementary pathways that kind of unlock even greater benefits than any one of them individually. And that's what we saw in our actual lifespan analysis as well. So we tested, you know, here's the lifespan extension, you know, with one MNA, with spermidine, with PEA, with OEA, and then all four of them together. And we saw that, yes, while each of the molecules extended lifespan individually, you know, by 5%, 10%, 20%, whatever it was, all of them together extended it by 96%. So there's no competition. There's actually synergy. And that's the big discovery, like really kind of using nature as a cheat code to like finding these great synergistic molecular combinations.
And you said that all of the ingredients within Mimeo are found naturally elevated in the blood after 36 hours of fasting?
Yep, that's right. And even more than that, you don't find them really elevated in the blood until you get to 36 hours of fasting. So when we did the clinical study to do the fasting assessment, we actually assessed four different states. The baseline state, which was an overnight fast, so like 12 hours of fasting, what people typically experience on a day-to-day basis from the time they go to bed to the time they wake up. Then we looked at a 2-hour postprandial state. So like we had them eat a meal, then 2 hours later took their plasma. So this was what we called the fed state. Then they did their 36-hour fast. Then in the fourth time point after the fast, we had them eat a meal, look at the 2 hours after that, and then compared across all different states. And these molecules just really did not appear elevated in circulation until 36 hours of fasting, just like a typical overnight fast was not enough to get them up there.
Ah, okay. And so these are all coming from diet in some form, or are they also coming, like, is the body naturally producing them, like mixing and matching different raw materials to create them?
Yeah. So they're all metabolites, which means that they are in some form or another, like a breakdown product or an intermediary product of, you know, nutrient metabolism. So like spermidine, for example, comes from arginine breakdown. You know, nicotinamide is a vitamin B3 derivative. OEA is a oleic acid derivative. PEA is a palmitic acid derivative. So all of these, you know, those raw components of metabolism that then get like broken down through various X, Y, and Z steps to then become this metabolite inside of your body that has its own specific function and bioactivity.
That's pretty cool. And I'm imagining that you could also do this if you're able to find enough participants for a study for, say, a 4-day fast or a 5-day fast, instead of just looking at the metabolites after a 36-hour fast. And I wonder if you'd find different ones there. But then again, the compliance of a 4-day fast is going to be much harder.
Yeah. And recruiting is also, also a lot harder too. But yeah, I think that that would be really, really interesting. And I think that you would find distinct things between, you know, a 36-hour fast, a 48-hour fast, a 72-hour fast. And that's something that's definitely on our radar as continued research to do. You know, just as, you know, even beyond that, just as we ran this process with fasting, then you can also look at all of these other interesting regenerative states of the body, like, you know, exercise or meditation or cold exposure therapy, and see, you know, what interesting metabolites, what interesting molecules the human body creates that are, you know, signaling through these beneficial pathways, and then put those things on demand as well. And that's kind of the big underlying philosophy behind Mimio. We want to be the biomimetic human health company, and really tease out the mysteries of, you know, how our biology operates in these interesting states and find a way to recreate them.
I was actually going to mention and ask about those exact things: exercise, mimicry, and then also heat, such as like a sauna or cold, and also like meditation. There's a bunch of really cool, unique states to get into. It'd be fascinating to see if you could like replicate those benefits and like help people get there without usually doing that activity that no one wants to do, or a very small subset of the population that actually wants to engage in.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, you know, the major caveat to this is that we don't want to be a company that, like, you know, promotes laziness, right? Like, I do think that people should still fast. I do think that people should still exercise and meditate and like do the cold exposure and things like that. But I think that there is a lot of benefit to be gained by looking at the human body in these more extreme states that people aren't going to experience on a day-to-day basis, like a 36-hour fast, right? Most people are just never really going to get there. So providing the benefits of these fasting metabolites on a day-to-day, like, can have these really profound impacts, like we saw in the lifespan extension analysis, and like we see in the metabolic assessments of like really being able to control a lot of these big, you know, metabolic disease risk factors.
How did you go about evaluating the safety of these? Because you could also see how there's a potential, like if you're going to be consuming these molecules that wouldn't naturally be elevated unless you're fasting, like perhaps the reason that they're not elevated to begin with is like a protection mechanism. And if you go around that protection mechanism, then perhaps you're venturing into territory that your biology doesn't want to venture into.
Yeah, what's really interesting about that hypothesis is we've actually had this conversation a little bit before with just some other folks. So they were looking at Mimio for use for stroke patients. And there's like good clinical evidence to show that a lot of the ingredients in Mimio can be very beneficial for stroke prevention and then for stroke recovery specifically. But one of the doctors noted that, you know, these things are like very highly upregulated, like, you know, after a stroke. Like, don't you think that like they could be like causing the problem? And I always like that argument because it's like, well, sure, you know, if a building is on fire, you're probably going to see a lot of firemen there, right? Like trying to put out the fire. But the firemen aren't the ones that are responsible for the fire getting started. And I would say that that's kind of like a good analogy for Mimio's ingredients as well, is that they are there to help solve the problem. Like they solve, they resolve stress, they promote recovery. So when like these stressors happen, that's when they kind of show up. So like, in terms of how we actually assessed safety, like number one, we did do the dosing and PK study. Number two, these molecules have, they have their own clinical history, over 100 different studies that are supporting them. And the longest time frame of that was about a year's worth of supplementation. And in that time point, there were no adverse effects ever reported. I don't think there's ever been any adverse effects reported with these molecules, because again, they're already, you know, naturally present inside of your body. Your body inherently knows how to like take them up, process them, utilize them. So there's just really not a lot of risk of downside there. And then in terms of, are these things like, you know, should they constantly be upregulated? Again, like, I think that that's philosophically a very good question. But all I can say as like a scientist is the data shows me that them constantly being present is actually really beneficial and has great positive health impacts and lifespan extension effects, and not the other way around.
These compounds aren't like some of the other ones that are recommended to take, say, 5 days on, 2 day off type of approach to them.
Yeah, exactly. And the nice thing is that, you know, like some of the other things, that are more of a natural part of your daily metabolism, like, you know, if you get on like testosterone replacement therapy, let's say, you're going to have like, you know, withdrawals that happen from that because you have your certain baseline level of testosterone that's like always going to be secreted. And then your body gets lazy. It doesn't want to secrete it anymore. And then if you go off the testosterone, then it has to like, you know, get back up to baseline. Whereas with these molecules, because they're not typically produced outside of the context of a 36-hour fast, there's no adaptation that really happens, right? Like you wouldn't experience these molecules unless you were doing 36 hours of fasting. So they, you can't like get adapted to them or interrupt your normal functioning because of it.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I have a couple more questions for you before we start to wrap this one up. And the first one is, if there are any other components to your personal like longevity routine or protocol?
Yeah, so the two ones that are major for me are definitely taking Mimio and then also doing the fasting. Those are kind of my two big things. I would say the other one is just like daily strength training, weight training exercises. One of the best things that you can do for longevity is to actually like add muscle mass. That's one of the best indicators of longevity, especially after the age of like 55 or 65. You can basically tell like who's going to live for another like 30 years versus who's going to live for another 10 years just based on how much muscle you have going into that 65 age mark. I also think that you need to do that in a very responsible way. And, you know, like most of the time, what we see, ironically, from a longevity point of view is folks that do like really hardcore, really high intensity training, like Olympic athletes or, you know, like big bodybuilders, wrestlers, things like that. They actually don't have all that great longevity because, you know, when you're pushing yourself to those extremes over and over and over again, especially in more of the high intensity versions versus, you know, more of the like marathon endurance style things, then that's like really exhaustive for your immune system, which can kind of, you know, deteriorate over time and give you more chronic inflammation. So I think that doing strength training, but like low impact strength training with like a lot of guardrails in place so that you don't injure yourself, that's kind of the way to go.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's one that's not often discussed when it comes to longevity. And it's so pivotal in terms of like healthy longevity when you need it most, which is when you're aging in your later years and you become resistant to putting on muscle. That's when you actually need it so you don't get frail, which is like one of the leading causes of later life conditions.
Yeah, sarcopenia and just like falls in general, they're big killers. And then of course, you know, there's the underlying effects of also helping to prevent cardiovascular disease, help prevent like these metabolic problems. I think that that's something that's really key as well. I always think it's funny going back to Ozempic and Wegovy, people kind of are like, I can't believe that it's impacting all these different areas of society just through like a metabolic health product, right? But it's like, yeah, it, you know, people are eating less food, so it's affecting like, you know, the food system. People are having less disease, so it's affecting the pharma system, right? And like, everybody's super surprised at this, but I think it's really funny because like, well, of course, right? Like, metabolic health and longevity are just inherently tied together. Like, if you take care of your metabolic health, that's going to be one of the primary determinants of how well and how quickly you age and your quality of life, especially as you get into later life. So really, like, focusing on metabolic health and its impacts can help control so many things, including the actual rate of aging. It's kind of just the most important thing that I can possibly tell people, and just really focus on metabolic health.
Yeah. And to briefly summarize what metabolic health is, it's essentially the ability to efficiently and effectively convert your things you intake, the food, the water, into energy to power your entire body.
Yep. It's a great,
simple way to put it.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris, if people want to connect with you, they want to try Mimio, pick up a order, how do they go about that?
Yeah, you can check us out at mimiohealth.com, mimiohealth.com. You can find our clinical studies there. You can learn more about the brand there. And if you want to give us a try, we're also going to give Nick the Urban 15 code, and that'll give him and his folks listening 15% off their first one-time purchase of Mimio, or 15% off their first 3 months when you sign up for a subscription.
Thanks for setting that up. If there was a worldwide burning of the books and all knowledge was lost, but you got to save the works of three teachers, who would you choose and why?
I would default to like entertaining things. I would be like, okay, cool. I want to continue to read like the works of Tina Fey and like Amy Poehler and like Donald Glover. Like, the philosophy stuff doesn't like get to me quite as much. I would be like, I want the world to have laughter if all knowledge is destroyed, and to have like a good sense of, you know, like not taking itself too seriously, preaching more of like empathy and compassion towards others, and just being like, the one of my favorite things that Amy Poehler wrote was, you know, like, good for you, not for me. Right. And just kind of like coming to that acceptance of like, you know, it's also like a very scientific thing that like what works for some people might not work for everybody. Right. And just kind of like live and let live. So that would be my big thing.
Yeah. Okay. And what is one thing the Mimio Health Tribe does not know about you?
One thing the Mimio Health Tribe probably does not know about me is that, in addition to being, you know, the CEO, founder of Mimio, and also a PhD in nutritional biochemistry, I'm also a internationally award-winning mead maker.
Really?
Yeah. So mead, for those that do not know, is honey wine. And one of the reasons why I got really into mead was, while I was at UC Davis, it has one of the best mead making programs in the country, because there's a really large honey and pollination center at UC Davis that's run by Amina Harris, who is just a phenomenal person. She also has like a honey distribution company. And so UC Davis puts on all of these really interesting like mead making, honey tasting courses that like that are available to students, but also like professional mead makers as well. So that's kind of where I like got the exposure to it, like got my teeth cut and kind of like learned all of the techniques around mead making and all the interesting different like nuances of honey varietals, which are a lot like grape varietals in that, you know, depending on where the bees are foraging and where their pollen is coming from, it totally changes the taste of the honey. So you can get something like clover honey, right? That's like cinnamon all day long, or you can something like meadow foam, which is like cotton candy and marshmallows. And then you have like chestnut honey that's like leather and like molasses and like bitter. And it's really, really crazy. Just like, I know so much more about honey than I ever thought that I would, and that most people don't. And then that's kind of what got me into it in the first place. And I got really good at mead making. So that's the thing that I do. And I enjoy responsibly alongside
Yes, that is. I can't say I ever had an internationally acclaimed mead maker on the show, so that is a cool story.
Fun fact, check-a-rooney.
Absolutely. Well, Chris, how would you like to wrap this one up today? Any takeaways you want to leave listeners with?
Yeah, I mean, like just to kind of recap what we said, you know, I'm Dr. Chris Rhodes. I'm the CEO of Mimeo Health, where we are making, you know, the world's first biomimetic supplements. And our first one is a fasting mimetic based on years of clinical research to give you the cellular health and longevity benefits of fasting, like without actually having to fast. And if you want to give us a try, you can check it out at mimiohealth.com, mimiohealth.com, and use the code URBAN15 to get 15% off your first order or 15% off your first 3 months of subscription.
Awesome. Thank you for that. And I'm going to look forward to trying your other biomimetic products when they also come out, such as your exercise mimetic or your meditation mimetic and all that. So I look forward to staying in touch and keeping up to date.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
All right, Chris, it was a pleasure hosting you on the show today.
All right. Thanks a lot, Nick. Appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.